I think. Yeah, so I might have to just do that again. Really sorry about this.
Wake up to yesterday on BCFM. Midnight to midday, we repeat all the programmes so you can catch up on all the ones you've missed or just enjoy them again. BCFM 93.2 FM. Your choice, your voice.
I don't know what the track was called. I mean, he I know, I don't know, it's all very well. I mean, it really minimalist packaging. Yeah, it doesn't really say who, it says who the tracks are by. So it's track number 8, and apparently it's by Kelly, which isn't very helpful. You know, you don't know which Kelly. But anyway, I think it's a fabulous track, and it's off the Ask Forgiveness EP, which picked up cheap in Borders, actually. Really, really lovely EP, so do recommend it. Now, later on this week, you can catch Jetfly supporting... hang on one second. I gave my notes to Toby, who's disappeared for a second, so I'm just going to have to grab them back, find out when Jetfly is playing. Oh, sorry, this isn't very slick and smooth. I do apologise. I'll have to sack him. Jetfly supporting Stanton Delaplane, playing with Bruce Kissel as well, Louisiana, Wednesday the 16th. So if you're listening to the Tuesday morning repeat between 7 a.m. and 9 p.m, that's tomorrow. If you're listening live now, Monday evening the 14th, then it's in 2 days' time. So you go, nice and confused. Oh well, never mind. Here's Jetfly with Full to the Brim.
You listen to me, honey, 'cause these waves won't last for long. Oh, won't you keep your promise to me, baby, 'cause those promises will keep you strong. Sweetest light turns your way. whiskey to gold in the glass. And when you take your top off, you say we ain't drunk quite enough. But I'm full to the brim with you.
Wake up to yesterday on BCFM. Midnight to midday, we repeat all the programmes so you can catch up on all the ones you've missed or just enjoy them again. BCFM 93.2 FM. Your choice, your voice.
Yeah.
Inside there with a track called Of Love of Flesh, and you can catch the Kick Inside playing at the Louisiana this Saturday the 19th of January, when they're also playing with The Mouth and Roxy's Wardrobe, about whom I know absolutely nothing at all. You see, you know, there are holes in my research. There you go. We had a fabulous live session just earlier on the show by the wonderful Falling Dan. Oh, I'm very pleased to say that next week we're going to have another fabulous live guest. We're going to have Catherine Poxon, that bloodhound, if you will, of live music, that sniffer out of hot new talent. Dr. Anna Rutherford has tracked her down and invited her in, and the good doctor, who will hopefully have recovered from her illness, to join me in the studio next week.
Is she not very well?
No, she hasn't been very well. She missed last week because she was feeling unwell. Poor Anna.
Dr. Anna, if you're listening, get well soon.
Exactly, from both of us. So yeah, we're going to be chatting to Falling Dan very soon after a little bit of Stanton Delaplane, who's playing this Wednesday with Jetfly at the Louisiana. And Toby, you were saying it was between two off this new EP. Which two did you particularly like then?
For me, it was between Hippo Sandal and the vapid comedy of Garfield Flash. Flesh
would be good. Yeah. That's brilliant. Or as in Flash Man, in fact, possibly. So why not the little strange world of Stanton Delaplane's come to an end? That sort of the theme song, if you will, of Stanton Delaplane.
For some reason I have my radio track head on.
Oh, okay.
If you see what I mean.
Got you.
I was thinking what works best going out across the airwaves.
I suppose. Although that track would kind of introduce the character of the singer to the audience.
And a mysterious character he is too.
He is very mysterious. No, but I kind of, well, all right. We played Hippo Sandal not a couple of weeks back, in fact. So let's go for the vapid comedy of Garfield Flash by Stanton Delaplane.
Beckon to a boy, a flick of hair and wink of eye. Oh, he beckoned to a boy, a flick of hair in full time. Won't you take me into your eyes.
BCFM 93.2 FM.
Welcome back to Word of Mouth. That was, actually I'm not quite sure who that was, but it's okay because I'm joined here by Falling Down, who picked that, and they can tell me who it is. Guys and girl, who was that we just played?
That was Feel by Big Star.
Okay, you big Star fans?
Yes. Yes.
What, well, all of you?
No.
Okay. Descent in the ranks. Fair enough. Guys, introduce yourselves.
Hi, I'm Dan Monks.
I'm John Slattery.
And Sarah Gerrish.
Cool, and thank you so much for joining us this evening. That really was a fabulous set, and it sounded superb in here. And we've already had quite a few sort of messages on our MySpace commenting on how good it was. So top stuff. Hopefully we'll get a podcast up from there very soon. How was it for you?
It was good, apart from the zip on the briefcase.
Some unwanted percussion.
Just a little bit. No, it was really good. Very kind of nerve-wracking. I think we played yesterday at the Acoustic Music Festival to a significant amount of people, and it probably wasn't as nerve-wracking as that was, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was quite scary. But it was good fun.
Really good fun, thank
you.
Was
it one of your bigger gigs yesterday, then?
I think it was, really. Yeah, it was really nice to be sort of asked to do it, and then we sort of played just after the Gala Band, and there were quite a few people in there, and not many people who we knew, which is always refreshing, really.
That's cool. Why do you find that that's a bit of a problem? Is sort of the, you know, once you've kind of exhausted the friends you can bully into coming to gigs, is it a bit sort of difficult for a band starting up in Bristol to sort of get new faces along?
I think it's always difficult for a band starting up, and especially in a place as diverse with such masses of music in Bristol. But yeah, exactly. And the fact that people sat and listened and were interested and didn't get up and walk out is always a bonus.
It's always really nice to play gigs like that because you get an opportunity for other people who haven't always come to see you. Mm. And when we played Ashton Court Festival, that was one of the big things that came out of that, that a lot of people said, oh, we didn't necessarily come to see you specifically, but they got to see us anyway. And that was really nice. You get a bigger fan base by doing that.
Well, I think that was how I first heard you, actually. I mean, you know, it sort of, I was curious to see you, but I was there for sort of Stanton Delaplane and North Sea Navigator, and I was like, whoa, actually, yeah, good. Because I'd seen... well, you explained to me earlier that it was a kind of a predecessor of Falling Down, which was Falling Science.
Yeah, yeah, good yeah. name.
The worst band name in history.
Really? Why? Yeah. Why is it so bad?
I just never took
down,
to it.
Falling
it
Down has a bit more.
It's a result of a compromise, I think. It was either going to be Falling Red or Falling Blue.
I have no idea anymore.
I have no idea. An historic compromise.
Fair enough. So, yeah. But Falling Down's nice sort of double meaning, double thing going on there.
It's a pun, yeah.
Yeah, nice little punnage. So, but I mean, how many modes have there been? How much transition and gestation has there been?
Well, originally, there was, you know, first there was Falling Science, and that band had a sort of had two things going on. There was a sort of a folky acoustic thing happening with it, and also there was this sort of rock, you know, heavier rock kind of thing. And in the end, you couldn't have the both in the same band. It ended up, and it ended up with Telegram being the rock band, and this came out. Originally, it was just me and Dan playing Telegram songs in pubs, wasn't it? At the risk of our lives a couple of times.
Well, I think the Falling Science thing was kind of a. I used to play in a band called Dalmain with a guy called Martin Maidment.
Gagarin.
He's Gagarin. Yeah, he's
and he
the
plays in Santa Dog.
He's the drummer in Santa Dog, indeed. Also, Steve Bell, who's also the drummer. The drummer, the bass player in Santa Dogs,
and this web of Bristol
music. It's like rock family trees, you know.
It is.
I love it.
Let's not get on to living arrangements. Sorry.
Live with Steve for a short time, yeah. But we sort of Falling Science kind of came out of a desire to kind of play the songs that I was writing at the time, and as it sort of developed from that, so the rocky stuff got separated from the kind of more acoustic, quiet, folky stuff that Falling Science were doing, and then that developed into Telegram. Mm-hmm. Which is still going strong with another drummer, and then Falling Down became a bit more sort of focused, and this is kind of what you're getting now. And you know, I wanted to sort of move the songs on a little bit and to kind of develop my guitar playing and my songwriting, which I think is kind of happening now. And
so, was the idea of Falling Down then always to kind of play things a bit more stripped down? So do you not foresee yourselves going the way of the Cedar, for instance, and having like 14 instruments on stage?
I think when you're writing songs, I think it's really easy kind of to sort of fill up the sound, and that kind of takes it away from maybe a lack of songwriting. And I think nothing about the Cedar, because they're fantastic. I saw them at the Thekla for the Ashton Court Benefit, and they were brilliant, because that's what they do.
If
you can write a good tune, that really does stand the test of time. You know, you could put every major chord under the sun together in whatever combination, but if you haven't got a decent tune to go with it, then you know the songs won't kind of shine out. And I really like to sort of investigate songwriting and to try and develop it myself, really.
I mean, one of the things Dan's always saying is that he hears particular instruments for particular songs. So it's not so much like we'd want 14 people all the time, but we might have 14 different guest musicians, you know, in the course of an album or something like that.
Well, recording's always going to be different for live, isn't it? It's always an opportunity to do something that you can't replicate live easily.
It was very good fun doing the Ashton Court Festival with a full band. We hadn't had a drummer, and we had an electric, and that was really fun. But it's also really nice to come back to kind of how it started. You know, me and Dan rehearsing in my front room.
It's quite nice, actually, to sort of, you know, to just see that Benes, because there's not many sort of, you know, where you just have a singer who's there to sing and really, really focusing on the singing that they're doing. You know, sort of, there aren't that many sort of, you know, because I don't think backing singer clearly isn't appropriate for what you're contributing to the, I mean, it is sort of a whole other sort of vocal line kind of thing, and there's not that many bands that where someone would be quite happy to just to sort of contribute in that way.
So we have worked really hard on the harmonies that we do, and that's something because Dan and I, our voices work really well together. We try to make that a feature of our music and our sound. And although I do play other instruments, many of which aren't particularly suited to bands because they're mostly woodwind.
I don't know. I think the clarinet solo is waiting.
Yeah, it's lovely. Well, it doesn't allow her to sing at the same time. That's probably the problem.
Maybe a kazoo.
We're visiting a gap, I think, in the vocals at that point.
But I think one of the things is if I sort of write a song and I bring it to the rest of the guys and everybody gets the chance to express themselves, and that's really, really important. I do kind of keep fairly tight boundaries. I know what I want, I can hear it in my head, and I write a lot of the songs in my head rather than just sitting down on a guitar, and that's the way I'd like to develop them, really, and it works, and we enjoy it, and we get on as well, which helps.
Yeah, that's always good. So no internecine band wars. Now, you've got a big pile of CDs that you brought along.
Oh, yes.
So let's talk a little bit about your songwriting then. I mean, you know, is it very much something internal to you, or do you occasionally go, oh, it's a guy guy? And do you get sort of clues and influences from other people?
I find it really difficult sometimes. I go through stages of not listening to any music. Just, I don't know why it happens. I just don't really feel like listening to music. And then I'll go through a glut of just piling through as much as I can, trawling the web for MySpace sites and just looking around and getting recommendations of people, especially Steve, again, who I spoke about, who's in Santa Dog. He's been a real big sort of help with over the course of my life with introducing me to a lot of good music. But I just kind of try and write for myself, and I find it really hard to kind of... If I become self-conscious about what I'm writing or what I'm writing about, then I generally tend to sort of steer clear of it. I become quite embarrassed. It's quite quite a self-effacing way of dealing with it.
So do you listen to stuff like, I'm never going to write like that, so it's okay to listen to it?
Well, not really. I kind of write stuff and I think, wow, that's brilliant, I really like that, but I don't tend to sort of take it away and rip it off wholesale. I kind of probably put elements of that within what I do, you know? I mean, I like music from A right through to Z, and you know, it's difficult, I think, and I guess I'm really, really conscious of people knowing what the songs are about in terms of the lyrical content and also the music. I would rather have these kind of influences sort of filter in via osmosis rather than sort of just be a blatant rip off, you know?
Cool. All right, well, what's the next track?
The next song is by a guy from Liverpool called Michael Head. This is his Heroin album. He has no front teeth. If you listen very carefully, you can hear the gap. And this song's called Glynis and Jackie.
Cool. All right.
Thank you. Are listening on BCFM 93.2 FM. It is your voice and it is your choice.
You're the man who's in me.
That was Venus Pegatus with Venice Vince, and you can catch the Bath Trio over at Moles this coming Saturday. But we've still got another fabulous trio. This is Falling Dan live in the studio. They're chatting to us, so thanks very much for joining us. So what have you guys got coming up next then? What's next for Falling Dan?
We are next playing on the 4th of February at the Louisiana, supporting Alice and the Mystery, I believe. That is the next up-and-coming gig. So if anybody else wants to offer us one, then please do.
Do you find it hard? Is it a struggle?
Not really.
No, they seem to fall out of the sky at the moment.
As I was saying to Toby just earlier on, it's kind of weird. When you're coming to the end of a kind of stretch of gigs, you kind of think, ooh, you know, what are we going to do? And then all of a sudden, you know, the messages start coming through, people call, and, you know, if you play in the right places, people generally do tend to want you to sort of come along and play for them. And, you know, this gig at Louisiana is, I think, by the people who are also promoted, the Thekla.
Yeah.
So there's maybe good things will come out of that too.
Okay, cool.
I mean, fall out of the sky, actually, is big. Dan works very hard getting the gig. From my point of view, they fall out of the sky.
It's fair enough. But it is good advice, though. I mean, gigs will beget gigs. I mean, the more you do, the more likely it is somebody will see you off the good one. I mean, I get emails occasionally from people going, oh, I'm so fed up of just playing these rubbish gigs. How can I get some really good ones? And the thing is, it's like, well, for every good gig you've got to play.
Is that what they used to call paying your dues?
Yeah, well, I don't think it's as much as that. I think it's just that people only tend to... People, when you're chatting to people, they tend to talk about the really, really good gigs or the nightmares that were so bad they were funny.
Yeah, but this is the bread and butter gig, isn't
it? Exactly.
You have to
people
do
don't
ones.
Talk yeah. about the middle yeah. stuff, but of course they are there and everyone does them.
It helps if you can write a tune as well, I think.
Yeah, well, that's always good advice. I mean, these are people who one would have to say can write a tune. You know, sort of
good
just getting frustrated with the bread and butter gigs, as you say.
No, sure thing.
And just after the things. I mean, there are some nice gigs to be had around. Have you guys ever? Acoustica up in Gloucester, actually. If there's any people from Gloucester listening, I do recommend the Acoustica gigs up there. They're lovely, actually. It's really. They do it in the tower, in the Guildhall. Great big venue.
Yeah.
And they put the seats out, and it's, you know, it's lovely. You get sort of about 120 people sitting there, all really quiet, four acts on. No ego, food for the bands, money for the bands. It's great.
Now you're talking. I think
food sounds good.
I think one of the things is when we do what we do. Sometimes, you know, we can kind of when we played yesterday, it was kind of a question of us upping the intensity. And I think if people sit and they're actually listening to what you do, and everybody doesn't want to turn around and say that, you know, I've got an ego and I want people to listen to what I do, but you know, you don't write these songs for nothing, and you want people to listen to what you do and maybe hear what you're doing and really get an idea of how you sound and what you actually do. And I think when people are quiet and you're looked after, and you know that's the great thing about Tin Hut, from the gigs that we've done for Tony as well, is that he's really looked after us. You know, so there's always even if it's just a free drink, it's a free drink, but that means that you're appreciated. And,
absolutely,
and that it kind of impresses you so much that your performance probably improves as well.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the problem at the moment, is that audiences are spoilt for choice.
So in Bristol, indeed, yeah.
There's no sort of incentive of them to sort of, you know, well, it should be the other way around. It should be audiences, you know, have to pass a basic audience training session before they're allowed to purchase tickets.
I think they've been spoiled by television myself. You know?
Yeah.
They say the same thing in the theatre. They just talk in crisp packets. You know,
well, people's concentration seems to have been diminished, doesn't it, somewhat by TV and the trash that most people will watch.
Yeah, no, that's for sure.
If you listen to the radio, it develops the mind.
Yes,
I think what we're saying is also it's nice to be appreciated.
Yes, it's always nice to be appreciated. So send your appreciation. How can people send their appreciation to you? Do you have MySpace?
We do indeed, of course. Not always as up to date as it could be. The blog is terrible, but it is myspace.com/fallingdan.
Cool.
That's DAN.
Thank you, Sarah.
Is there sometimes confusion? Do you get some odd emails where they've misspelled stuff?
Just because Dan's got a funny accent, you can't always.
Yeah, they actually repeat back the pun.
Yeah.
So they say, oh wow, yeah, that's a really odd name. I say, no, tell me the band name. They repeat it back. I say, no, you're wrong. It's Falling Dan, not Falling Down. But unfortunately, yes, I am a northerner.
Wasn't that a dodgy film with Michael Douglas?
Yeah,
it's dodgy.
There's no oozes inside.
Kind of, they said there's a bit of a right wing message in there.
Yeah, you talk through the gig, I pull out an Uzi.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, that yes. Oh yeah, that'd be awesome as a stunt. I mean, probably only work the once before you got a restraining order banning you going near the stage.
Think of all the prison albums you could do.
Yeah,
like the new sure. Johnny Cash.
The thing is, I can just see the headlines that say "Gig surrounded by armed police officers after prank goes awry."
That's to protect. Yeah, that's to protect the band from the audience, or yeah, to protect the audience from the band. I'm not really sure. Not
quite. So thank you very, very much for coming in and joining us tonight. Hope you guys have a safe journey home and wish you all the best with your recording and gigging plans. You've got one more track to play for us, so
indeed,
who is this?
It wouldn't really be a Falling Dan sort of pick your own without at least one Robert Pollard / Guided by Voices song, and this one is off their last album, which is Half Smiles of the Decomposed, and it's called Everybody Thinks I'm a Rain Cloud When I'm Not Looking.
Cool. Thanks very much, guys.
BCFM Community Radio for Bristol on 93.2 FM. For more information or to listen live on the internet, go to our website at www.bcfm.org.uk. BCFM, your radio. Thank you.
was The Blessing with Can't Keep the Faith. And I'm just having a little debate with my co-host, Toby Field, because he thinks The Blessing just played at the Bell tonight, which I don't disbelieve him, but I'm sure I saw they were playing somewhere else. I'm getting confused with Phil King, who does just play everywhere all the time.
Ubiquitous Phil King.
The ubiquitous. Well, Phil King is now, you know, to Phil King, if you are Phil King, that means that you are playing lots of gigs. No, seriously, it does. It's like, it's Bristol music scene slang. Say, oh God, if I work any harder than this, I'll be Phil King.
You're joking.
I'm not at all. I've actually heard Bristol musicians use that term.
Is Phil aware of this?
Yes, he is. I told him and he thought he was quite sort of strange. Well, I think he was flattered. I think he was a bit unsure. You know, he couldn't work out whether it was a derogatory term or not. I said, no, it's because you work really, really hard and other people recognise that you work really, really hard and play loads of gigs. And, you know, so they're just saying, like, if they worked any harder and gigged any harder, then they'd be Phil King. Because, I mean, Pete Rowe gigs a lot and gigs really hard, but to
Pete Rowe, who is just... he's off, isn't he?
Is he?
Yeah, he had a big leaving party. He's going to that there in London.
Oh, right, okay. I didn't realise. But anyway, he works really hard.
He does.
But Pete Rowe doesn't adjectivize quite as well as Phil King.
Oh, adjective. I can't say that.
You know, Phil King, it sounds like an adjective already. It's got the ing on the end.
I want to start using it, but I don't want to rub Phil up the wrong
way.
Well,
okay. Well, I mean, he didn't object to me, but that might be because I'm kind of his boss, so maybe he just was humouring me or something. But, yeah, so there you go. Right, well, that was The Blessing, and unfortunately you missed them because they're over in Bath tonight. But it's okay, because on Wednesday the 16th, you can go and see not just Stanton Delaplane, who we've played, not just Jetfly, who we've played, but also this chap, Bruce Kissell, who we're about to play. And, you were saying you quite like this, Toby, and you might go down.
Yeah, I mean, again, you know, you do this job and you get to hear all this music, and Bruce kindly sent me a CD, and so I thought the least I could do is play a track, and I do. He's got a really distinctive voice, and this song is the only, if I'm right in thinking, it's the only piano-led one on this particular EP.
Fair enough. What's it called?
Eurydice.
Time will pass. So do you want me to do a jingle for the radio show, yeah? Yeah, I've got all the stuff written down here. I'll do it now.
You're listening to Word of Mouth on Bristol Community Radio, 93.2 on your FM dial. Broadcasting Mondays, 9 till 11 p.m. That's Word of Mouth.
Was that okay?
Yep, you've been listening, in fact, to Word of Mouth and myself, Theo Barry, and Mr.
Toby Field.
Thank you very much for joining us. If you enjoy the show loads, then you can listen again tomorrow morning between 7 a.m. and 9 p.m. Or, in fact, download the podcast from our MySpace page, myspace.com/wordofmouthmusic, where you will find, in our blog, probably by Thursday, I'd say, a complete track listing for the show. So if you miss the names of any of the tracks but you really like them, then you can find them out there. And you can also find links to bands, live guests, that kind of thing, contact address, email address, which I really should check soon. And you can also find out means just to get in touch with us. You know, if you want to send us CDs, tell us about your gigs, say thank you, that kind of thing. We're going to be back next week with another 2-hour show full of the freshest new sounds coming out of Bristol. And we've also got the wonderful Catherine. She's just Catherine on MySpace. Live in session.
Sounds intriguing.
Yeah, it is. Although, you know, I think it's a bit ambitious, really, because Catherine, it's, you know, if you're called Godzilla
or Star, like in the Lost Boys,
then I think, or Mazzy or something, you know, something really, then I think you'll probably get away with it. But I'm sure Catherine's probably taken, you know, as a performance name. So at some point she's going to get that letter, isn't she? Sorry, we've already got Catherine TM sewn up. You can't have Catherine. You're going to have to change it. Anyway, so she's going to be live in session for us. And then the week after that, we're going to have Olo Worms. And so keep listening every Monday at 9 p.m. on BCFM 93.2 or online at www.bcfm.org.uk. Oh, no, hang on. Yeah.
BCFM 93.2 FM. Wake up to yesterday on BCFM.